Kindly open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I think you young men who are unmarried have received an idea of how to attract a girl. Get a Bible study going on the Song of Solomon. Right? Anyway, thank you very much for that idea. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word. In the time that is at my disposal, I would like to take up the subject of Chile, of course. First of all, to speak of the mandate. I want to speak a little of the map of Chile, too. Also about the missionaries that are there, the methods that we use, the message that we give. And I'll be giving some memories of things that have taken place. Also a little bit about the moment of trial, the end of February when an earthquake affected Chile very gravely. And then we will be talking about the maintenance of the work and its ongoing way in the land of Chile. As already stated, it was over 50 years ago, in the month of August, 1959, when we were commended to the work of the Lord in that land from the South Main Gospel Hall of Vancouver, British Columbia, to which the West Richmond Gospel Hall and Deep Cove Gospel Hall added their names after our first furlough. The reason being that those two assemblies were actually hibops of the South Main Assembly, and the brethren felt that they had a part in our initial commendation. So here is the mandate. Go and preach the gospel. And you'll notice an ever-widening circle here. It starts off in Jerusalem. You shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem. And then the surrounding province of Judea. And then the province to the north of Samaria. And then to the uttermost part of the earth. What at that time would be considered the uttermost part of the earth. You and I can obtain a globe, and if you take one end of a piece of string and put it on Jerusalem, and then look for the place that's furthest from Jerusalem, circle the globe, and you will find that two countries qualify as countries that are at the furthest point from Jerusalem. One is New Zealand, and the other is Chile, South America. So we thank God that we have been privileged to work in this land, in South America, the land they call the string bean land, lying down the western coast of South America, bordering on Peru in the north, bordering on Bolivia in the northeast, and also the high Andean mountains that come down the spine, and they make the division between Chile and Argentina. Some are asking where we are really located. You think that we would live in the tropics because of it being South America. Not so. We are in the temperate zone. And in fact, if you took a line south of Boston, went straight down, you would more or less find where we live in South America. But if you were to take another spot, say North Carolina, and go as far as the equator, you would have to go the equal distance south to find the place where we live in a place called San Felipe, Chile. We are to the north of the capital, which is Santiago. Chile is actually a very long country, and you could take one end of it and put it in Seattle, Washington. Stretch it out across the United States, and you'd get to bring it right to here near New York. So it's a long land, but it only is about 80 miles wide at its narrowest point and a little bit bigger a little further on. In the south, you have a lot of cold weather, fjords, islands. In fact, there is no roadway down to the south of Chile yet. If you want to go down to the very southern part of Chile, you have to go into Argentina and use their roads to get into Chile further south. Where we live is in the Aconcagua Valley, just north of the capital, Santiago. The population of Chile doesn't measure more than 15 million. The population of the capital is around 6 to 7 million. We live in, as I say, a town of about 75,000. North of the capital, about an hour and 15 minutes or so, in a valley where the road goes across to Argentina. However, you look to the east of us, just about 50 miles away, the high Andean mountains rise to between 24 and 25,000 feet. To go across to Argentina, we have to climb to 10,000 feet above sea level and go through a tunnel. However, you've still got another 10 or 12,000 feet of mountains above you. As to the methods that we use in the land of Chile, they are varied, but we have full liberty in which to preach the gospel. There is absolutely no difficulties imposed upon us to preach the gospel. Therefore, we can use tents. We can preach in the open air. We can freely give out tracts. We use radio. And of course, the gospel halls are used at all times. Not only that, we use the internet. There are numerous ways that we have at our disposal in order that we might preach the gospel. Chile is considered a Roman Catholic country, and whereas they claim that 70 to 80% of the populace calls themselves Catholic, the Catholic Church will also now admit that only 17% are practicing Roman Catholics. They say there are more or less 25% of the populace that is evangelical Christian. And indeed, there are different denominations that are there and places that the gospel is preached. And of course, the assemblies are there. As to the missionaries, there are five couples from North America. Five couples that have gone out to Chile and South America. There is the Rogers family in Rancagua, Dennis Hahn and his wife who are in Los Angeles or Los Angeles, Chile. There's also the Moore family and the Kluge family. And ourselves. There's one single sister, Anne Reed. Those are the foreign missionaries, and there has been a dearth of foreign missionaries going out to Chile in the last few years. Why is this? Not just because there is lack of interest here in this land, but in part it is because there has been a very great interest in the country itself, commending people to the work. And as it stands today, there are 10 Chilean couples that have been commended to the work of the Lord in Chile. So consequently, we have 10 couples commended from Chilean assemblies. There are two widows, the widow of John Shaw, Lucy, and the widow of Eliezer Parada. He died when he was 100 years of age. He was a Chilean evangelist. So in the way, the country itself has greatly matured. There are 47 assemblies that have been formed. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, on the very same day, there was an assembly planted in the northern part of the country in a place called Iquique. And in the middle of the country, there was an assembly formed in Rosario. Now, there's one method that is often used in regard to the gospel, and that is that people who get transferred from one city to another with regard to their employment will not just sit back and say, I have no assembly close by to which I can go. I'm going to sit here at home. On numerous occasions, those men will start a Sunday school, and that will become then a gospel meeting. Following that, there is gospel efforts. We as missionaries are not necessarily involved at the outset, but one thing we do is give our support to those, and we will go and visit them, have meetings with them, and do what we can to encourage them. And I could name at least half of the assemblies in the country that were started as a result of people being transferred in their jobs to a city. Let me give you just two or three little illustrations, although there are many more. Manuel Zuniga was a policeman. Not only did he work on the beat, but he was also a man who was used to fix cars. He was a mechanic for the police force. But he had a great deal of ability and other things, and he was transferred to Arica, way up in the north part, which is nearby, about 10 miles from the Peruvian border. Now, these policemen love that kind of a posting because it means double salary to be in these isolated places. But Manuel's ability and his value became so great to the police force that every time they put his name down to be retransferred back south, the commanding officer said, no, he is too valuable to let go. But Manuel, in God's goodness, had already started a Sunday school in his home. I recall when I visited his home, we cleared out the furniture and had a meeting there in his home. From there, we went to the garage. Then he got a new house, and we fixed up the garage. Now they have a lovely hall. But in all of that, he worked away by himself and then saw people saved. And today there's a lovely assembly in Arica. But the dedication that he showed to that work is manifest in this way, that after 13 years, a commanding officer was ordered to clear out all of the ones who had been there a long time and bring in new blood. And so they told Manuel that he was going to be transferred. Fine, he said, my life is in the hands of God. If you should transfer me south, I am at a stage in my career that I can now ask for early retirement. There's only 2 years to go, but I can ask for early retirement. I will obey. I will go south. But after a month of working down there, I'll ask for my holidays. And after my holidays are up, I will then leave the police force. And when they asked him why, he said, because this is a place where God has placed me. And that's exactly what he did. And he continues until today. This is just a case of a man who, as a policeman, went and saw work started, and now there's a lovely assembly there. I could take you to Chuquicamata. That's where that large copper mine is located, near Calama. It was an engineer in the copper company who arrived there, and he started up a Sunday school. Today they're building a hall. There's an assembly formed, and God has used him. Another man called Hector Leon went to Antofagasta. He's a university professor. And while he was there, he started up a work, and there's an assembly there in Antofagasta. Copiapó is on the Atacama Desert, and Chile is one of those countries that has every kind of climate you can want. From the north, where you have the Atacama Desert, the driest desert in the world, through the central area where we are with its lush fields, we live in a productive fruit valley, a lot of fruit grown there, down south where there's rice and wheat, and then further south where there are huge populations of trees and great plantations of trees, right down to the south where the fishing is done. All throughout the country there is all kinds of weather, as you can imagine, right down to the Antarctic, because you can go all the way to the south, to Punta Arenas, and you can find all kinds of weather. Getting back to Copiapó, though, and some of you will perhaps recognize the name of Copiapó, because it's only 30 miles or 40 miles from there, where the miners were trapped underground. They remain trapped underground. I was looking at the paper on the internet this morning, that is the Chilean paper, and they already have the cage ready to bring those men up. But it'll be another month or two before they finally get a hole big enough to be able to send the cage down to bring those men up. At any rate, Copiapó is a city where a brother went. He was a university professor of math and physics, and his wife was a psychiatrist, and they were working there, but he invited some of the students to come along to his house on a Friday night. They couldn't ask him any questions about the type of stuff they took up in the university, but he preached to them the gospel. Eventually, a little building was obtained. We rented a house, and periodically I would go up there. We'd have meetings for a week or two, and then eventually the assembly was formed. Then eventually property was purchased, a hall was built, and now there's an assembly there. The brother himself has since then been commended to the work of the Lord. He now is in Santiago with his wife and family, and this is how God has worked throughout the country. I could go on to give you many other illustrations, but that will suffice for now. And so as brethren are moved out of their place of employment, we usually encourage them, and we as missionaries will give them all the support we can by visiting them, having meetings with them, and even supplying for them, to the degree that sometimes we will help them in paying the rent of a place. We'll tell them, you go ahead and rent a place, we'll stand good for whatever rental is necessary, because sometimes their income is not sufficient to go that far. But with the backing of those of us who are already in the work, they can indeed feel encouraged to go ahead. Now, as to the messages that we speak, God in his grace has given a number of the Chilean brethren very good gifts, and it's not uncommon for us to have conferences such as this. But perhaps one of the speakers would be a local man, a man who really has a gift, and although he has never been commended to the work of the Lord, he nevertheless will be encouraged to participate in the conference because of the quality of the ministry that he can give. Now, when you go to a foreign country, as you might call it, Spanish is the language we use. Actually, when Margaret and I step outside the door of our house, there's absolutely no one in the city that I know we can talk English to. We are immersed in Spanish. There are not only the assembly in San Felipe where we live, 5 miles away, there's another assembly in a place called Santa Maria. And when we are in that area, we of course are with them every night of the week. There's some meeting somewhere. We are close enough to Santiago, and when meetings are necessary in Santiago, we can go down there. The brethren have found the difficulty you find too, how to get people out to meeting. I'm going to speak just about what the Renca Assembly does. It's in the northeastern part of Santiago, because Santiago has about 10 or 12 assemblies there. And this assembly found that it was difficult to get people to come out when they had meetings every night. So they designed a means whereby Friday, Saturday, and Sunday they would have a special effort. And that special effort meant they would invite a man to come for 3 nights, and they had 4 different workers come on the 4 succeeding weekends. And in that way, they have made some inroads into getting people out, because Santiago is an enormous city. Transportation is very poor. Traffic is chaotic. And you can imagine the difficulties that means to get people out to meeting. And furthermore, we still have places in Chile where the day starts at 9 or 9:30. The stores, even the banks, close down at 2 o'clock. It's siesta time. And then at 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon, especially in our city, they open up again. You see, where we live, during the winter time, the temperature can go down below freezing at nighttime. Oftentimes, when we get up in the middle of the winter into our bedroom, it's only 45 or 50 above. We don't have central heating. But in the summertime, we're usually the hottest place in the whole country, and it goes up to 90, up to 100 at times where we live. So we're in a hot spot during the summer and a cold spot during the winter. At any rate, the brethren have found that this has been a help in seeing souls saved. They also have a way by which they go out on a Saturday morning, for instance, and have open-air meetings. And we thank God for this exercise of the different brethren and sisters in making Christ known. Now, as to the different memories that I would like to share with you, one or two things. One brother said, you remember that story you told us about Mucho Gusto? Well, I said, yes. He said, please tell it again. So actually what happened was, when we were just recently in Chile, going back a long time, Bill McBride, William McBride, who was commended from the Manchester Assembly, and we worked with them for over 3 years, he said to me, whatever they say to you, say mucho gusto. And that means much pleasure. And really it works. No matter what they said to me, I didn't have to understand them, but they would say, I would say mucho gusto, and they thought I was being wonderful. But who knows what they said, eh? Anyway, we were feted at a home, and they had a nice meal, and then I was looking for the bathroom, and the main bathroom was occupied, but they showed me one that was of a lesser class than the better one, and I went in there only to find that there was no door on the inside of the door. There was no handle on the inside of the door. And there I was, with mucho gusto and nothing more. I couldn't even say help. I couldn't even say Bill. His name in Spanish is Guillermo. How was I to know that? At any rate, there I was, mucho gusto, and finally I searched around, and after 15 minutes, they were getting alarmed where I disappeared to. And they didn't know I was in there with mucho gusto. But I finally found an umbrella, and I pried the door open. However, they've never forgotten it in Chile, and so they tell me about my mucho gusto. Now you know it too. At the end of February this year, you will have heard of the earthquake that took place. What's it like? Well, we've had a lot of earthquake. We're on a fault line, really. And we have tremors every so often. We're accustomed to them. You're sitting at the table, and all of a sudden, everything starts to shake, and good, it goes. But sometimes that shaking becomes a little stronger. And at 3:34 a.m. in the end of February on that day, when the earth started to shake, I recall sitting up in my bed, and all of a sudden it gained stronger and stronger and stronger, became an 8.2 or something like that on the Richter scale, and boy, you're in trouble. While you sit there, the lights go out, because that's the first thing that goes, it seems, and all you sit there and hear the clamor of things falling and breaking. You can hear whenever it's a lamp or something like that that explodes. And then after 3 minutes and 34 seconds, that's a long time where it's been shaking, then it seemed to subside. There's usually a lot of noise, an underground noise that precedes an earthquake, and there was a lot of underground noise, which of course occurs as the different plates are crashing against each other. And yet we were about 500 miles away from the center of the earthquake. And so various cities were affected. And so since then, we've been doing nothing but cleanup. Every room in our house was affected because we have an old house built in 1884. Its walls are made of mud adobe bricks, and the plaster has broken off. Fortunately, structurally, it was not affected, but it needs to be totally repaired. In fact, I was talking just yesterday to the brother who was doing the repairs. He said, "I'm doing your bedroom." Well, that's very good. Fortunately, he was available to do that because he is really waiting for the plans to be made regarding the city of Talca. We have a hall in Talca, and we went down there about 5 days after the earthquake. And for those of you, and there were assemblies here represented that contributed to the earthquake fund. And to you, brethren, especially, I would direct my remarks that all of that money that was sent, 100% goes into the earthquake fund. Now, we have separated into three different stages. The first stage was to give food and clothing and water and things like that. And even from San Felipe, we loaded up the car, picked up the Rogers in Rancagua, and went on to Talca, and then went distributing this to the people who were in need. Because many of the stores closed for a few days, and there was a great scarcity of those things. That was stage one. Stage two was helping people repair their homes, or in some cases, there were 8 homes rebuilt for people. They wouldn't be built in the scale that you have homes here, but they were at least rebuilt or repaired. And then the one city of Talcahuano was affected by the tsunami. That's the tidal wave. Can you imagine having water come into about 3 feet high into your living room? Water that is seawater, dead fish, sewage water. You can just imagine the smell and the damage that it did. And so some of the Christians were badly affected by the tsunami that struck Talcahuano. And so some of the money went to replace, in some cases, some of those furniture for them and the kitchen supplies and things like that. And then the brethren in Talcahuano asked me, "What do you think about going out and seeing about some Sunday school scholars we have from a place from a poor area where we have a lot of kids coming from?" 20 kids used to come from that area, and they went out and found 16 of them. But one case they found was very striking. And it was a case of 3 homes that were attached to one another and burnt totally to the ground. When they went searching for the 3 children who were members of their Sunday school, these were not members of the assembly, but when they went searching for them, they found them living in a tent out in a field where many of people went. And they discovered then that the people were getting a house built for them. The government had provided one that was just a shack, and some university students were called upon to do the building, which they did. And anyway, they took out to the people some food supplies, and then they gave them a little bit of money because, of course, the people had lost everything. What had happened? How come it burnt down? Well, you see, when the lights went out and it was dark, the people lit candles to have a little bit of illumination in the home, and then came the aftershocks. Now, when the aftershocks, we must have had about 700 aftershocks. All of a sudden, it starts again, and then subsides, and you're grateful that it doesn't turn into an earthquake. But where the tsunami struck, they got word that tsunami was coming in, and the people had to run. And when they ran with what they had on, that's all. But they forgot the candles that they had left with. And so with the aftershocks, sometimes the candles fell over and burnt the houses. Now the thing happened, what can we do for this family? And so a couple of the brethren, elder brethren, went and interviewed the people. And for them, we provided, I can just quote what the lady says, because she wrote a beautiful letter thanking those who had so kindly contributed. My children are happy, and I am too, as I sit at a table that was provided by you. And we provided not only a table, but also some furniture, also kitchen utilities like a stove, and also some of the artifacts from the bathroom. And I forget how much money we involved in that, we put in that, but that was one of the cases that we did in helping people. We didn't make a distinction. If they had any need and they had something to do with the hall, then we helped as much as we could. Just about, I guess 4 or 5 weeks ago, maybe a little longer, Margaret and I went down to a place called Guayeco. It's a huge old house. The people had given part of the house over to the use of a hall, and we fixed up the hall. But then we discovered that 3 ladies, one of them is over 80, And they were actually, two of them were sleeping on the floor. We didn't know that their bedrooms had been totally destroyed. And so they were a little bit reluctant to accept help. They were very private people. But Margaret said, you people, and I said, look at you people have been kind over the years. They've been so hospitable, so kind. And I said, we would like to help you. And it might cost $10,000 or $15,000. I'm not asking for money. The Lord has provided. That's not it. But we said, no, the Lord has provided. And they are very, very grateful. It'll be finished in about a week or so. But anyway, it was a huge job. But to think they have really served the Lord's people for well over 40, 45 years. And then in this home, which has provided lodging for a number of us over the years, they were left really with very little. But anyway, the Lord has provided. Now, from doing houses, and I'm going to come to the end in just a moment, we also had the third stage, which is gospel halls. And first of all, the hall in Talca was so badly damaged, the municipality ordered it to be demolished, and we had to demolish it. There was a house next door, and that was two single sisters living there. It had to be demolished also. When the municipality inspectors tell you to demolish it, there's no way you could ever use it to live again, because it's just considered unfit for living. So we're waiting now for the plans to be approved to do the work for Talca. But we have already laid aside money, and it's already there for them to get started and probably to bring it to close to its completion. The assembly in Santiago had a big problem too. They cannot use their building, but they're going to be able to repair it. And they're just waiting also for the final approval to be given by the municipality, because you can imagine they're putting in a lot more restrictions now. Also, the gospel hall in Machalí, the hall itself was good. The latter part, or the back part, was made of mud brick. It went down. Well, David Rogers is redoing that. We came by just about a week or so ago, and they're really progressing well. In San Felipe, our hall itself is good, but we do have an annex where there's the kitchen and the eating place. It's from old construction. It will need to be repaired too. And so there are more or less, most of the projects have been undertaken. We just have the three halls, the four halls to finish. Our home is one, and there's one or two other places. And then I think that will meet all the needs that we're aware of. But I would like to express to you, brethren, who have made available the funds, some privately and some as an assembly, that I wish to tell you that this is all taken care of, and it has been a marvelous lesson for us to see how well God has supplied. But the work has been done, and so we thank God that there are people now who are living in better circumstances than before, but it has been through your kindness that many times, instead of waiting for the government to come through, here we have Christians whose homes were fixed up before others because of the faithfulness of God's people. As to the maintenance of the work itself in the future, we thank God for those men who are working hard in the country of Chile. Now, someone asked me in regard to these men who work in Chile. We have adopted, I don't know if we're right or wrong, but what we encourage the Chilean assemblies to do is to have fellowship with their own people. We ourselves prefer not to receive any fellowship from them, because the Lord in his goodness provides for us from abroad. At any rate, this is what we have sought to do, and God in that way has seen fit to put men into the work. Now, time goes very quickly here in Midland Park. You have to change the oil in that clock or something to slow it down. At any rate, I shall bring it to close, and they've asked me to pray, and I'm going to give thanks, too, for the refreshment. I guess the refreshment is over 35 cents, isn't that right? You pray if it's over 35 cents. At any rate, I trust that you'll continue to pray for us in Chile. I usually say, whenever you're cold, think of us in Chile. Let us pray.